Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/onpause. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player.
You're listening to OnCast, episode 42 for May 30th, 2010, with twitter.com/RonnieDean and Andreas. Enjoy the show.
What?
I changed what? My name.
What was that?
Twitter.com/RonnieDean.
That's something.
You like it?
I was trying to be polite.
I think it's pretty good.
I don't know. It's Twitter.com's own @RonnieDean. Follow me, please. I'm begging.
Please, I need followers. I'm only at like 200.
I just lost a bunch because they're all, you know, online prostitutes.
I mean, if I kept all of the ones, you know, all the girls and stuff that add me, I'd have, you know, 300-400.
Yeah.
Wow, I get so many of those a day, it's not even funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of hookers. I'm getting a whole bunch of people to follow me that are Germans or Norwegians or European people. It's kind of cool.
That's weird. Why would they want to follow you?
Because I am the Euro All-Star.
Oh, right. You're the one with the big podcast, so they all want to know you, right?
That's straight. Damn correct.
All right, so I hear you got a new job this week. You want to tell us about it? I mean, how was it?
Yeah, man. It was actually really good. Like, I obviously going into a new job is always a little weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I obviously when I was choosing the job and talking to the people that I'd be working for and with, you know, I got a good feel for what they're like. And, you know, I like everybody there. It's been a really good time. Like, I love all the stuff that's going on there, the stuff that I'm working with. I'm learning a lot. And, you know, most importantly, like, it's something I enjoy going back to work. You know, there was definitely like to have a new challenge. And that's good, you know. It's my days are a little bit longer right now just because of the commute and all that. But that's going to all get sorted out eventually.
You got to move closer?
Moving closer or get a second car or both or whatever.
Cool. Glad we'll to hear you like it.
I love it. Yeah, I'm glad.
Now, and let's see if you still like it in 2-3 months, you know, when you're doing the same thing over and over.
Well, that's the beauty of the job. I mean, there's some parts that you do every month.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also a lot of stuff that is going to just be like random. So it's almost like a good 50-50 where some of the stuff is like somebody will come to you and say, I need this, and it'll be very specific, and then you have to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always going to be different because we're working with you know, marketing and finance, and they always have special requests. So I'm loving it so far. It's great, and like I said, I love the people there. Today they actually let us out a little bit early because of the holiday weekend, and
today they let us out. I love it. It sounds like you're, you know, behind bars or something. They let you go play in the field.
They let us
for
go
a few.
Early. Yeah, exactly. No, it's not. Absolutely, it's not a prison. Obviously,
right. You know,
I hope I never have to actually be inside a prison.
I don't know. After unless some of the things you have said on this podcast, somebody might want a pleasure. What?
For pleasure, like a vacation, you know, check out Alcatraz.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, no, it's been great.
That's cool.
And my boss is actually a big time gamer and soccer player, so which is what I am. So pretty awesome. So I found a new soccer team to play for this summer, which I've been desperately looking for. So that's awesome.
Oh, is it with your boss?
Yeah.
So if you do bad, he'll probably fire you.
If I score an own goal, you know, the next day comes in and has a huge grudge on me and sends me a hate mail. No. No, that's not going to happen. It's all recreational. It's not like highly competitive, even though it's competitive. But anyway, so yeah, I don't want to bore people with my work life, but I really enjoyed my first week. It's been good. Right. And then now we have a long weekend coming up, we have Monday off, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, fun week, and we actually got a party coming over and stuff. So
nice.
People coming over for a party, so that's going to be good.
Going to do some good old American backyard grilling?
Yeah, of course.
No, what are you going to make, some burgers and some hot dogs?
Exactly, that's what we're doing.
Every time I start podcasting, my cat comes over and is like, what the hell are you doing? What's going on? And then she starts like meowing and like scratching shit.
You need to take a picture one of these times so we can put it up with the notes. Because I bet people are wanting to see what the cat looks like.
I have plenty of pictures. Right. I can put up a whole album.
Awesome. All right, send me that. I'll put it up. All right, you want to get into some news?
I would love to, actually, because it's been a great news week. And there was some stuff that I actually care about, like genuinely care about.
I was going to say, last week was very boring. Yeah. And when I was going through the news today, like, I was just, you know, really excited. There's some really good stuff, so let's get into it.
Yeah. I mean, I always try to stay on top of the news every day and just kind of look at the highlights and see what I care about. You know, and there's always, like, one or two stories, usually, if there's a good news week. But this week, let's start with one of the items that you put up there. Call of Duty Black Ops is going to feature 2- and 4-player co-op. And
now, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say that's not a surprise. It's a Treyarch game, and they had 4-player co-op in the previous World of War that they made. So, and I think they're going to cater those missions specifically to those co-op styles, right?
Actually, I didn't even read the post. All I saw was the 2- and 4-player co-op, so I threw it up there, and I was going to let you talk about all of it.
Well, that's great, because I didn't read it.
Awesome. I mean, really, it's going to be probably, like, the last game, so...
It's going to be...
not really big news, but I'm glad it's there. It's just fun to play with your friends.
Yeah, and I just keep getting a pretty good vibe from this game, because everything that we kind of been seeing and hearing about it is that it's, you know, even Treyarch is like, you know, this is going to exceed your expectations. This is not your regular Treyarch game, which is just, here's a bunch of World War II stuff, play it.
The only thing wrong with the Treyarch games was that it is World War II. You know, I think we've had enough of those. They were good games, it's just we're sick of the World War II settings.
I feel like they were good, but they were nothing to be raving about. You know what I mean?
I actually really enjoyed them. I mean,
They didn't have any big impact on me. I was like, okay, that was a game.
I think that's because they were the World War II, and we've played 100 of them before that.
Yeah,
but I mean, gameplay wise and graphics wise, it's exactly Call of Duty, you know, to Modern Warfare. So,
right. Yeah. Actually, I did read a whole bunch of that because I think they have had an event. They had some hands-on time with Call of Duty Black Ops, and one of the things that they were talking about is that you're actually going to have some flyable vehicles, like you're actually going to be flying them.
Mm-hmm.
The jet that you see in the trailer, which is pretty awesome. Like, you're actually going to have some stuff going on that you can actually fly. Before, it was just, you know, you're in the AC-130 and you're shooting stuff. Or you're in the airplane and you're in the gunner's seat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the extent of it. So supposedly you're going to actually be able to fly to a certain extent.
I was going to say, I wonder how much. Like, is it going to be like Dragon Orta where you're just going in a straight line?
I don't know.
Or is it going to be allowed? Yeah.
They didn't really talk about it.
I doubt it's going to be on the, you know, the Bad Company 2 scale.
Right.
But, I mean, we'll definitely see. And I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm getting a really good vibe, like mm-hmm. I said. The footage looks cool. The footage looks very, you know, I keep comparing it to Call of Duty 4, the trailers for Call of Duty 4. Just everything is, like, ultra action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very, the animations look very much like, obviously, Call of Duty 4, because they keep using the same engine. They're not really updating the engine, you know. It's pretty much the same-looking games over the past, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's fine. It looks pretty good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It looks good.
And so it's going to be 4-player online co-op and 2-player split screen. So they're actually going to have split screen co-op in there, which is pretty neat.
So let's say I found somebody did a write-up It really doesn't say anything, though. I think that was really just the big news that it is going to include that.
I mean, you have a bunch of interviews coming out now, and you know, more and more details, but it's going to be sort of piecemeal, you know, since we got a bunch of hands-on time with a bunch of outlets and stuff. So we'll see more stuff, and obviously E3 is coming out, and that's going to be an explosion.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's move on from there.
Yep. All right. How about I do all mine, and then we can go on to yours. So.
Sure.
You actually played this one. Is the Need for Speed MMO is launching in July.
Yep.
They're going to have a free version, which allows you to play up to level 10. They're going to have a $20 version that allows you to play up to level 50. And then I think there's another one after that. No, that's it. But there is a $20 pack where you can buy extra cars and all that.
Right. And then after that, you get like a speed boost. Right. That's what you're talking about.
Right. So you actually got into the beta. I mean, how was it?
Yeah.
Does it play like the last Need for Speed or...
It reminds me a little bit of Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's picture all the environments of Need for Speed sort of put together, and you can go anywhere. You know, okay. it's a massive world, but it feels kind of empty.
Yeah.
The controls work good even with keyboard. It's very arcadey. You know, it's basically a dumbed down arcade open world racing game. You can drive up to certain areas and, you know, start races either online or basically, you know, against the AI. You have power-ups, you can use different power-ups. It's a lot like Blur in that aspect, where, like, let's say the police put a barricade up and you can put the put a power-up that makes you invincible, and you can bash through, and then you get points for, you know, breaking cop cars, and basically you're leveling up, getting experience, and you can use that to upgrade your car, buy better cars, buy upgrades and whatnot, and you can, you know.
I mean, it sounds pretty good, but other than the, you know, the free level 10 thing, I probably won't be doing much more than that. I think that'll be
enough. It runs smooth.
Does it?
Yeah. What's that?
What, you said it runs smooth?
Yeah, it runs smooth on my machine, and I had it almost up to full settings.
Cool.
Which was, you know, super high res and whatever. I mean, it's nothing special. I just wanted to kind of check it out, you know, but it wasn't anything.
I was going to say, it just popped in my head. It's probably not going to be for Mac, so really I don't care about this story anymore.
Well, it's sort of a forgettable thing. I jumped on there once to see what it's like, and it's forgettable.
Yeah, all right. Good?
This is for, you know, some people are really into that stuff, and they will enjoy it. But if you want a really deep experience and sort of a story and, you know, something that's more immersive, don't, you know, that's not for you.
I was going to say, if you're wanting an, you know, open world MMO racer, this next one might be more worth your time, as Test Drive Unlimited 2 is releasing September 21st.
Yep.
And from all the trailers I've seen, it looks really good. You know, there's going to be off-road, there's going to be bikes, of course, on-road. And then if they take the last one, you know, where you're just driving around and you see other cars on the road.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I enjoyed the last one. I just thought it had a few... It wasn't the greatest of driving.
I played the demo for a little bit because the new one's coming up, and I just kind of went back to check it out. Because Test Drive, it has a lot of history. You know, on the PC, I used to play the Test Drive games, and they were completely different games then.
Yeah.
I mean, not just because of, I don't know. It was the classic PC, sort of one of the first cool games that had, like, cockpit view, and you could get tickets, and, you know, when it started raining, the windshield wipers would come on. You know, it was pretty neat. And but then it's really fell behind the curve of all the other racers that came out. You know, Need for Speed, especially Gran Turismo, Forza. Like, nobody gives a damn about Test Drive anymore. So this one is going to have a lot of work to do to really actually capture some market share. And I'll tell you what, like, this will sell in Europe, but it will not sell here.
I agree with you.
You know, and it's made by Europeans, as far as I know.
They don't know what they're doing.
No, clearly. Europeans, especially Germans.
Right. Bunch of
idiots. They never know what they're doing.
And then Halo Reach also got a date. It is September 14th.
That's right.
I mean, we really all knew that, you know?
We knew it was going to be in September.
Yeah, right. The past four Halos have been releasing in that time, so...
Right. Now, how are you still hot on it? Or are you getting cold on it?
Right. After the beta, I mean, we were definitely not feeling it. But I listened to the two of the head Bungie guys, and mm-hmm. they just, like, I'm super excited now for it after listening to them too. Because they went through and they talked about all the complaints that they got about the beta and how they're fixing it and what they've already fixed.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely going to be good. And if you look at Bungie's past four games, they all were amazing. I think it was just a very early beta.
Well, they actually, you know, usually when people say, oh, beta in air quotes, right? It's just a glorified demo.
Right.
And in this one, supposedly it was actually really used to gather a lot of data to improve upon the gameplay and everything. So
yeah.
So but what I'm really looking forward to is the single player campaign for this one, to be honest. Because
go ahead.
The story of Reach is just interesting, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the single player, but just like they only talked about multiplayer and it really fixed a lot of the things. So I mean we will see in September, of course. We'll definitely talk a lot about this game when it releases, but yeah, glad it has a date. You still got your pre-order?
I have it right now, yeah.
All right. I thought you were going to cancel that.
Don't. There's a $20 gift card attached, and I'll probably buy the game anyway. So
it's like, what you should do is cancel it from Walmart and pre-order it at Amazon.
That's what I have. I don't have it pre-ordered at Walmart.
Oh, I thought you pre-ordered it at Walmart.
No. Walmart ended up price matching the Amazon one. Amazon price matched Walmart. So I just pre-ordered it on Amazon.
Okay, cool.
You know, another game that has jetpacks is Killzone 3.
Really?
Have you heard about that game, Killzone 3?
Nope.
It's also going to be in 3D, the third dimension. But you need the 3D-enabled televisions and the glasses and, you know, whatever. A bunch of preview footage basically came out, and, you know, previously in the week... Killzone 3 was, I don't know, we might have talked about it last week, but basically the game was basically announced before Sony officially announced it in a GamePro cover that was leaked on the internet. And now Sony officially had announced it, they had a hands-off European event, and then the next day they had a hands-off one just watching, and then a hands-on one, you know. So you got to watch a couple of levels, and then all the media got to play a couple of levels. And Killzone 3 will have jetpacks. Killzone 3 will be much more visceral than
previous. Gotta love that word.
It's a good word. Than previous Killzone 2. But and that really comes across in, like, they were talking about the melee attacks that they have in there. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, like, you know, taking a dude... that's got his back turned, stabbing him in the back, then kicking him into the wall when he turns around, you know, hitting him in the face with the rifle, with the butt of the rifle, and then stabbing him in the eye. That's all one animation. Basically, they said every gun is going to have their unique, you know, melee death animation, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a lot of those. So it's going to be super hardcore.
This is definitely getting an M rating.
Oh, big time. And the environments are huge now. So they're going to be about three or four times as big as Killzone 2 environments, and which is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to take multiple paths. You're going to have more weapons. You're going to have improved visuals. There's now snow. There's snow levels now. So you have, like, big-ass snow flurries whipping around in the wind. And, you know, Killzone looked absolutely gorgeous.
That was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
So Killzone 3 will obviously be another step above, and you're going to have jetpacks, which are going to work a lot like Halo 3. I mean, Halo Reach's jetpacks, so they're kind of like boost packs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they also improved the cover system. So you're now going to be able to slide into cover. You're going to be able to jump over the cover, but it's still going to be like that first-person cover mechanic.
I really enjoyed the first person, actually.
I did, too.
I thought it was really neat and done well, so...
I loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Killzone 3 will be a direct continuation of Killzone 2, so not to spoil the ending, and I'm not going to, but it picks off right where Killzone 2 left off, and, you know, obviously you're still fighting the Hellghast, and I believe you're going to be able to sort of Halo-style, you know, rip off a turret and walk around with it. they didn't talk at all about multiplayer, but this is all single player stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're Rico, the, you know, the black commander guy that's in the game that was sort of useless because he kept getting killed. Remember?
I didn't get all the way through the game.
Actually. Oh, okay. Well, no, he was just a terrible AI. He just kept getting running into the open and getting killed. You had to go revive him, and then you got killed, and huge pain in the ass. So he's going to be, you know, much improved. And I mean, I can go on and on, but there was just a bunch of really, really, really cool new features that were going to be in Killzone, and you know. Killzone 2 was such a solid game, even if they just made the same, used the same engine and everything, and give me a different story, I would play through it, because it was a hell of a good time playing through that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I can't wait to see more, and they said that 3D was, you know, it was okay, it took away some of the detail, because you have to render everything multiple times in 3D, obviously taking away some of the detail, and that it looked, you know, some people... The joystick guys were like, yeah, it's forgettable. The Kotaku people were like, yeah, it's nice. You know, so who knows? Could be good, could be bad.
I'm really hoping this game is like in Best Buy using the 3D so I can try it out. Because I don't see myself ever getting a 3D TV. But yeah, I do. I really want to see it.
You're going to get a 3D TV when everybody else is, meaning when it's integrated in any TV that you're going to
buy. Yeah, yeah.
You know, sort of like if you buy a TV now, it's going to be HD. Can't even buy a tube TV anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now if you go out and buy a TV, it will be a high-definition television. So in a few years when you go out, it will have 3D. But to be honest, like, I don't need 3D. I've played a few games in 3D already, and while it's cool, it's not a necessity.
I mean, if they're able to do it where you don't need the glasses, I don't know if that's possible.
Well, it is. It's going to be possible. There's already prototypes out there. I mean,
without the glasses, and it looks like it's still coming at you and all that...
Well, I don't know if it's so much. I would much rather have if there is a, you know, if you could really get a sense of the environment. So if there's a better depth perception. So if it's deep versus coming at you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is more of effective for video games. And it's the whole jumping out at you thing, I think, is so, you know, gimmicky to me. I'd rather have more of a depth perception.
Right. I don't see how it would really work in a lot of games, you know, like a grenade flying off your screen or something.
Right.
And then, like, I don't know. I'd like to see it done, you know, be done, but I guess until I see it, I don't really know what to think about it.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, you said, that depth of field, that'd be really good.
Yeah. That's really what I want. But from the screenshots and everything, it looks freaking awesome, you know? I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Looks just like number 2, which is a great-looking game still.
Right. So, I mean, it looks a little bit better, obviously, but... You can see that the textures are more high res, but, you know, we're not going to geek out over that right now.
Nah, let's move along. It looks like keyboards are going to be in Rock Band 3. Did you know this?
I did hear about this, and it was a teaser image via the Green Day Rock Band demo. So basically, you know how there's the four images for the guitar, the drum set, the bass, the microphone. You have an image for each, and now you have an image for keys. Now, some people might say this is a piano, and some people might say it's a keytar. You know, one of those 80s guitars with keys on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. We don't know anything yet. But what we do know for sure is there's an extra instrument.
I really hope it's not a keytar. That'd be so lame.
But I think it'd be kind of cool if it was a legit keytar and, like, throw some cool 80s music on there, like Wedding Singer style. That would be awesome.
I don't think so, Andres. But how, I mean, how much is this going to cost if it's a real piano that you got to set up and it comes, I mean, this thing's going to be huge.
Well, they can't price it more than, you know, whatever the other regular Rock Band packs were. There's no way. And if anything, I have all the instruments, I'll just buy a separate instrument for that, whatever. Like, I'm not going to buy a whole set.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you think it's going to be enough for you to go out and buy this, though?
I don't know. I mean,
how is the DJ? You still playing DJ Hero?
Whip it out every now and again. But again, that was another expensive game that's now found for $60. Just like Rock Band stuff, you can find for, like, you can find whole kits for $70. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
So even just wait a couple months and then buy it right. on the cheap. You know what I mean? Like, don't go out and buy it.
Yeah.
And who the hell doesn't have Rock Band yet? Like, come on. I guess the bigger question to me is, like, what is Guitar Hero going to do, right? The next Guitar Hero is going to come out. They don't have a keyboard or guitar. They're going to be like, fuck, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? They're going to be scrambling it out because Rock Band is going to have a new feature that is actually something new, not just different tracks and, you know.
They'll bring in DJ Hero to the game or something.
Really, yeah. I don't know. I'm getting burned out from these games anyway. Were we getting burned out last year from all these?
Well, I have not played one since Rock Band 1. What is that? 2 years? 3 years now?
Rock Band 1?
Yeah, Rock Band 1. I've...
That was 07?
Was that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the last one I've actually played. So I'm ready for something new.
All right, well, this will be the one for you to get.
Well, I don't think... I don't really care for the piano, but I'm just saying, like, a new guitar, or maybe I'll go, you know what, the DJ Hero is finally cheap, so I think I need to pick that one up.
It was so cheap just the other day. It was like $50. I don't know why you didn't grab it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll, once it hits, you know, the 50-40 again, I'll definitely pick it up.
It will, especially when DJ Hero, I'm sorry, we're talking about DJ Hero? Yeah.
I don't know.
When DJ Hero 2 comes out, which is inevitable, you know, then you're going to get the other one dirt cheap anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This next story, though, is probably one of the more interesting ones this week, and it's Insomniac. You know, Ted Price, who heads up Insomniac, which is a PlayStation exclusive sort of studio, but it's not owned by Sony, so they can still kind of do whatever they want, announced that they're going to go multi-platform with EA partners. So it's going to be a game that will be published on the PlayStation and on the Xbox, maybe the PC, and it's published on, you know, via EA partners. And rumor has it that, you know, the studio they opened like last year sometime, they opened a new studio, that obviously that was the studio that was going to produce these multi-platform games, and then you're still going to have the other two teams working on Resistance and Ratchet and Clank. So they'll probably do the exclusive Sony games for a while with those two teams, and then have the other team do the multi-platform games.
Okay, see, I was wondering that. I was wondering if Resistance and Ratchet are going to come over to, you know, the Xbox.
No, I don't see that. I don't see that.
Okay. I wonder if Sony owns something there to where it can't.
You know, I don't know if they own the IP for that. I thought Insomniac still owns those IPs. Pretty sure.
Hmm.
Of course, I didn't do any research or...
We're gamers enough. We're lazy. I don't know. I think that's really cool. You know, I love Insomniac's games, so I'm definitely looking forward to it and getting some achievements.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping Resistance 3 comes out this year because I enjoy the Resistance games.
I really enjoyed number 1. Number 2 just didn't do it for me. I felt it was rushed in a lot of areas.
I like number 2. I thought it was a good playthrough. It was a good rent.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to go back and play it. Do you know if it works with the Rumble controllers?
Positive, I think. DualShock 3?
I don't know. I need to pick one of those up, and then maybe I'll check it out.
I can't believe you don't have one. I think the first thing that I did when that came out to pick it up was, I mean, it was a total disaster that it didn't come out at launch.
It's just I don't play my PS3 enough, and my controller now works just fine, so I don't see why I need to go and buy it. But it would have been nice to play Uncharted with it.
Oh, of course.
The tactile feedback
makes a big difference.
Right, I'll probably be going through Uncharted again with it. You know, when I picked the Killzone 3 bundle.
Killzone 3 bundle?
Killzone 2 bundle.
Oh, yeah, that's worth picking up for sure.
Yeah, I need to get it.
Yeah, pick it up. Do it. So, I mean, is it a big deal? Yeah, we kind of knew that everybody's going to go multi-platform now. It's not a surprise.
Yeah, it's just dumb if you don't, really.
Well, you're losing out on a lot of money. And
right.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not... Only the fanboys are going to start screaming, you know, be like, no, Insomniac, what are you doing? I hate you. Whatever. You're still going to buy their games.
Boycott.
Another place that we should all boycott is GameStop. And... It's leading to my next story here, that they have introduced now another rewards program in addition to their other program, which is just the Edge card. And this is called GameStop Power Up Rewards Pro. And you have to pay like $15 for the whatever premium edition, and you know the other one is free, and you get a bunch of features. You can go on the website. It's basically powerUpRewards.com, and you can like you know click on the benefits and see the two different sections. You get a free one, which basically earns you points for every dollar you spend. Exclusive access to news, offers, and events, which is just a bullshit line. epic reward giveaways, another whatever garbage. And those are all free features. Yearly membership, free. But you know the kicker is they want you to basically pay. I'm pretty sure this is going to replace the previous Etch card because this is just a beta. Kind of, you know, they're trying it out in a few different states. And you're going to receive 10% point bonus on all purchases, 10% bonus trade-in credit, 10% off pre-owned games and accessories, 1 year of Game Informer, buy two, get one free welcome gift on pre-owned games, 250-point pro enrollment upgrade renewal bonus. So it's basically ramping up a little bit, adding a little bit to their membership, but it's really just kind of a rebranding of their Etch card, you know?
But right here, as I see it, it says coupons to $5 to $10 off, or you could also get, like, an Xbox 360 controller. Is this with the... I mean, how do you get all this?
Guarantee this is with the paid...
The paid version, and the just... I mean... I'm wondering, like, if you buy so much stuff, do they give you this, or is it just...
Well, you earn points. You earn points. And then X amount of points will give you... you know, the right to purchase something.
Right, I get it now. I should have read on a little more or listened to you. But right, for the $5 to $10 off purchases, it's 4,000 to 8,000 points. Right. For the, you know, the 360 controller, it's 40,000 points. All right, I think it's cool. It gives, you know, the people who go to GameStop all the time a little extra, you know, to one go there, and they could get something extra in the end, but...
Right, it's good for the people that go there anyway, but I barely shop there. Like, there's no point for me.
I mean, if I had this back 5 years ago when I went there, like, every week and bought a new game every week, this would have been awesome. And right. You're right, they have to, you know, put the power-up and the Edge card together so you get, you know, the 10% off or whatever it is along with your points.
Right, that's basically they're just kind of rebranding their program. And they're testing it now and... You know, they'll just replace it, I'm sure, once it's all gone through, or are they going to have it in other locations? I don't know. I could probably care less, but it's just something good to bring up because, you know, to kind of see what the different retailers are doing to try to get some customers.
Hey, I think it's a really good idea for them. So.
Next story is Doom 2. This is kind of out of nowhere, but Doom 2 is coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
Actually, it's out.
Out, is out right now, Wednesday?
Yeah, it was out, and I played it last night.
And, well, the thing is, it's 800 Microsoft points, which is stupid.
Yeah, that is a lot.
$10. You can get that for free on the internet.
Free on the internet, or you could get Doom 1 for 400, I'm pretty sure.
So how is it, though?
I mean, it's just Doom on the Xbox. I mean, it controlled well and stuff, but...
Okay, but it's...
It's Doom. We've all played it, you know, and like you said, it's free. Like, why would we buy this?
But another quick one here, Mafia 2 bringing out, like everybody else, a collector's edition, and they also announced their pre-order bonus and such, and you know, every retailer has their own different... I mean, you can read the stories and everything later. I'm not going to go through all of these, but, you know, GameStop, Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, they're all going to have their unique, you know, downloadable codes and can get some costumes or, you know, weapons, cars, whatever, bullshit. The actual edition comes, you know, with a hardcover, an art book, a couple of cars to download, and...
It's a steel book.
Whatever. I mean, these limited editions are so stupid.
100-page hardcover art book.
I mean, it's kind of neat to look at it and be like, but what am I ever going to be like?
You go through it once, and then you set it up on your shelf, or it goes away in a storage box. Like, same with, what was it? Halo Wars. Like, it came with their book, it came with a bunch of stupid playing cards, They're all in a, you know, a chest downstairs stored away. I'm never going to go and look at them again.
Right. Let's put it this way. I mean, if you're a collector, and Craig's going to get mad, you know, he's a collector and he picks up limited edition ones when he can. And that's fine. Like, if you do that all the time and you're actually treating it like that, you know. But if you just want to play the game, just get the game, you know. I mean, if I had the money and space for all these collector's editions, I'd probably do the same. But I'm just probably going to rent Mafia too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to I'm not going to buy this. But, you know, it's neat for somebody who would want to have something extra. And, you know, comes out August 24th. So go pre-order it.
You played it, right?
Yeah, I did play Mafia too. I played it over at E3 in the spring in March. And
you mean PAX?
Yes, E3, PAX, all the same.
All right. I mean, how was it? Like a trailer released this week of like some dudes just shooting up a diner,
and they were just Grand Theft Auto-ish.
Completely destroying this diner. It looks so amazing.
Yeah, the effects look great, but the controls are sort of you know.
Were you on the 360 or PC?
I believe it was a 360 controller. I don't remember. Yeah, it was a 360 game. That was a 360 build that I played.
Okay, and did it still have the same effects, or do you not?
It had pretty good effects. I mean, I didn't play a level where there was a lot of shattering materials. It was sort of like an old junkyard or something, like a warehouse complex. So, and it was just outside shooting people. One thing I have to say, though, there was a lot of screen tearing in the build that I played.
Oh, really?
Lots of screen tearing. Like, it seemed like it needed a lot of work at that point. But that was back in March. So presumably that build was from February or January that I played. So they had some time. You know, it's not coming out for another few months. So they have time, but I'm hoping that they fix it because that was atrocious.
Yeah, I'm hoping they fix it too, because I've been really looking forward to this one.
Me too. Totally. And it looks like they're doing something neat with the story there, where it kind of starts in the 40s and, you know, bleeds over into the 50s and close to the 1960s. So you see a nice progression in terms of story. So it looks, you know, it is neat. Mafia 1 was neat. Mafia 2 hopefully will be better. The driving was a lot better anyway. Did get to drive a car for a little bit.
All right.
It was very short, you know, like when I played Red Dead. It was very short, maybe like 10, 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of people at PAX, you know. They can't let each person play for an hour. Nobody would get to play.
No, no, true, but Mafia 2, I didn't even want to play more. I regret that I wanted to play more. Mafia 2, I was like, okay, this is another Grand Theft Auto.
I've done it. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so here is the disgruntled news story of the week.
I cannot believe this.
But this is a rumor, right?
I know, but if it really comes out at this, like, it's not going to sell.
Okay, so Edge has reported that there was some source, of course, that's very close to Microsoft. I'm doing a lot of air quoting.
Major Nelson.
Major.
Xbox Live, so Larry Herb, Major Nelson. yeah, Major.
And he is never coming on our podcast.
Like, he doesn't even know about us.
Whatever, I've been in the chats with him. Got him on MSN.
You know, one time I called him out as a fanboy, and he was like, oh, well, why would you say that? Why would you? Well, just listen to your freaking podcast, and your nose is so high in the sky. It's ridiculous.
Listen to his podcast, and if you go to his Twitter page, it's all about Microsoft stuff. Like, every now and then, he might say something good about PS3, but quickly after that, it's another Microsoft product. Like, well, what was it just a few days ago? MSN released a new photo blog. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's got to tweet out about it.
And he's always talking about...
Whatever. If I was getting paid his money and got to play all these games early, I'd be doing it too.
he made a point of like, oh, his wife got him an iPad and he returned it because he doesn't need it. Fuck off. All right. Anyways. So back to Natal.
I do not need it. This is the most amazing device I've probably ever used. He's an idiot.
Well, he's...
I stopped listening to his podcast a long time ago. I can't stand it.
Upholding images, you know? He's just upholding, like, this image. I am
Microsoft. He's probably got a prototype of Microsoft's tablet.
You know, they canceled that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's the rumor. Project Natal supposed to come out October 26th. And the best part is that it will cost you a small amount of your savings. It's only $150.
Only.
Okay, so when you got back into your chair, I'm going to continue the story. So that is the single device, presumably comes with maybe like a mini game collection or something, maybe. If it's bundled with an arcade, it's supposed to be $300, so you're basically getting $50 off, right? If it costs $150 and there's no software included or just like a few, you know, Wii-type demos, I mean, this thing is going to just straight up not sell. It's just too expensive at $150. Nobody's going to buy it. It's got to be at least sub $100. It needs to be $99.
Even at $100, I still don't think I'd buy it. I mean, well, then, the PlayStation I does it pretty much the exact same thing, and it was $40 or something, and I got a game with that. Let's be honest, though.
Let's be honest. It doesn't do what Natal is going to do in terms of the accuracy and...
Yes, but, I mean, they're basically the same thing,
though.
It's
a glorified PlayStation.
It's a camera.
It is a camera, but it also has infrared. It has some cool technology in there. Now, let's see what it actually... I mean, there's going to be a huge presentation on this thing. You know, like, they have a pre-E3 event for Natal, and they're going to have Cirque du Soleil, like, an event with Cirque du Soleil, which is obviously the world-famous French acrobat circus people. That's going to cost them a lot of money. And it's going to be on MTV, live on MTV. It's going to be live on game trailers, TV streaming, no commercials. So they're putting all the money behind this thing, right? They really want to sell this. This is like a mainstream device, controller-free gaming, you know, whatever. It can't be $150. It just can't be.
The PlayStation Eye was the same thing, too, you know? Like, it's supposed to be this big, huge thing with a lot of games, and we haven't seen anything on it for the PS3.
Because, I mean, that's really much more European deal. Like, in Europe, people use the PlayStation Eye a lot more with the iPad and stuff.
I use it, but I don't get... The only game I know of for it is the card one. And yes, it's cool, but it barely works. I don't know. They gotta have one amazing title that comes with this, you know? If it's just a bunch of... What was that volleyball-like game? Or the one... racquetball? I don't know. If you're just hitting balls and painting, like, no.
Well, here's the thing, though. Those were just sort of tech demos to show, okay, this is what the device can do. Early prototype. And maybe we're going to be blown away. Maybe they pull out all the stops. Because I hear a lot of talk about amazing applications for this thing. So let's say it has these amazing applications. Let's say it has this amazing game where it's, you know, accurate to a finger, where it notices what finger you're using. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's amazing. But $150 is still too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
You know, and they're... At that point, if you're going to get the PlayStation Move, which will come out at the same time, that's $99 for a whole set. So that's already cheaper. You know what I mean? So I don't think they're going to be pricing it at that. If they really are, then I don't know. It'll be too much. It'll be like Tony Hawk Ride, a too expensive peripheral that nobody's going to put in their homes. You know what I mean? It's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to wait for the price drop.
All right, let's move along.
One last thing. Remember Pachter, he said, yeah, you know, it's going to be around $50 to $60. That's what his estimate was. And at that estimate, yes, it'll do well because it's, you know, cheap, relatively cheap, and it gives you something cool to do. But if it's $150, it's too much.
Yeah. You know, watch Halo Reach in the end has some, you know, feature for this. And you got to play the game with it. Of course, I'm going to pick it up then.
Well, no. Here's the thing. Here's what it's going to have. It's going to have some... Like, Fable 3 is going to have some integration. Halo Reach might have some integration. But it'll be very small. Like, maybe some menu navigation or something. It's not going to be actual gameplay.
You'll be able to talk to the chief. You know, he'll pop up. Like Milo. He'll just walk around.
We can have literally an endless conversation of what I would want Natal to be, what it's not going to be, and...
I mean, go back to some older podcasts. We've definitely talked about some of the things we really want to see with this.
Right. And one big thing too is voice recognition. You know, it, like implement the voice recognition in the game. Let's say I'm in a game and it can track my head movement and it can track, you know, it recognizes my voice. So if I'm talking to an in-game character, you know, my, if I say move out of the way and it can recognize that noise, that, that, you know, phrase it actually, mm-hmm. the character moves out of my way so I can walk past the door room, like a room or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that would be amazing, right? But it's not going to have that. It'll be some, you know, pickup or, you know, I don't know.
I mean, just think of like a Fallout or Oblivion where you're able to go and talk to everyone and actually talk, you know, have conversations with them, ask them where, you know, like what should you do or.
Right, but then again.
Where's a good coding, casino in this town?
But the coding required to like pick up every single possible, you know, sentence or word that you could say, that's impossible. I mean, we couldn't do that if we tried. It's impossible right now. That's why this is going to be just a very limited experience, and it'll be very much geared towards like the soccer moms, and it's not going to be geared towards us. It's just not.
Let's move along. I'm mad at this thing now.
Okay.
I'm actually really excited for this. Go ahead.
So for anybody who remembers the Driver games, they were actually really, really awesome games back on the PS1 when they first came out, and then 1 and 2 were good. You know, I remember them. I remember loving them, playing them.
I played so much of number 2.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Number 2, they actually added, you know, the running around third person, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very limited, very clunky, but it was, like, revolutionary at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Driver 3 came out. That was crap because Grand Theft Auto was out.
It wasn't bad.
Look at it now.
Well, at the time, I wasn't allowed GTA. So I got Driver. You know, for me, never playing GTA or really even seeing it, Driver was amazing.
No, it was.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, when Driver 3 came out, that game just was very much behind the curve. And then it had, was that Parallel Lines?
Parallel Lines was next, yeah.
Yeah. So
it was like a 70s version.
Those were just disappointing. Yeah, Driver mm-hmm. Parallel Lines was like, it started in the 70s, then you got burned, sat in prison, and you came out of prison, and then you took revenge. That was Driver Parallel Lines.
Spoilers.
Well, that was like in 1950 when that game came out. If you haven't played that yet. But, you know, Driver 3 was junk. Parallel Lines was, you know, junk. So let's hope for Driver, I guess, 4 or 15, Driver 95?
It's going to be like 7 or 8, because I think Driver, there's some iPhone games, there's a PSP game.
7-ish?
We'll say 8.
Driver 3D, maybe?
3D.
4D, fourth dimension? anyway, all joking aside, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Ubi is going to have it at their press conference. And they're going to have it playable, I think, in their booth.
And, now, on here, it doesn't say it's going to be for, like, the Xbox. Could this be, you know, like an iPad game or PSP?
I don't think they would push it and put it in the list of games with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Shaun White Skateboarding, Tom Clancy Ghost Recon, and then, you know,
well,
say...
Well, I mean, we would hope not, but the, you know, iPhone and iPad gaming is huge now.
It is.
And a Driver game, Driver 1, released for the iPhone.
Well, and it's pretty good too, actually.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
I need to pick it up.
And to be very honest, like, you know, where was I going with that?
Yeah.
I mean, any game that comes out, like Splinter Cell Conviction is on the iPhone now.
Yeah, I saw that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
All those games are now going to be released in some shape or form. Like, Split Second is on the iPhone. All those games. So, you know, whatever.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's hope it's hot.
Hot stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, let's hope. Did you see the Shaun White skateboarding trailer?
I'm passing on that. That looks like shit.
Well, playing, you know, the snowboarding game, I know it's going to be crap, but they have a really neat feature in the game, or at least from the way the trailer made it seem, is you're going to be able to go and, like, create... you're going to be able to change the world. Like, build paths and stuff. Like, say there's... I don't know how to explain it.
Like, build, like...
You're going to be able to make the ground come up and create a ramp or stairs.
Okay, so like Fracture.
Fracture
the game where you could have ground deformation, you had guns that raise and, or like lower the ground and made
holes. Yes, it looks like it's going to be like that, but it's all going to be ramps and you're going to be able to change, you know, stairs and railings.
So it's a level editor.
Basically, but it looked really neat from the trailer. Of course, it was all CG.
Do we know if it's supporting the ride skateboard peripheral?
I don't know. The snowboarding game had it, right?
No, but Ride came after the snowboarding game. But I heard that supposedly the next Shaun White was supposed to have the integration for the Ride board.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see, but it looked really neat. It looked like it could be fun.
I probably will never play
it. Shaun White, I didn't know he skateboarded.
He doesn't. It's the name.
They should have got somebody good.
Tony Hawk.
Oh, wait, no. Not him.
Maybe good. You want to... not Tony Hawk? No?
No, he's...
Let's just make Justin Bieber skateboarding. Oh, jeez. That'll sell.
Kill me now.
Or, like... Miley Cyrus.
There's this Firefox add-on where you can get it, and it'll blank out like any images with Justin Bieber in it, along with his name. So it's just
would be just a blank page of the internet.
Pretty much.
So it's just a white background. When you turn on the internet, it just...
Right.
It's like Google. That's it. That's all you'll ever see.
I thought it was awesome. All right, you want to talk about this next one?
You know, Justin Bieber, he's pretty talented. Anyway.
And there is, you just named our podcast.
The last story I am excited about, and I hope this is true.
Justin Bieber.
What? So, Team Ico, obviously, are the ones who are making The Last Guardian, and that game was supposed to be rumored to come out Q1 2011, which would mean, you know, sometime before March 2011. And they rumored that there would be a Team Ico collection coming out, including Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, in like, you know, basically getting the God of War collection treatment. So up-res textures.
Oh, this is a day one buy for me.
Yep, I would. I mean, I have.
But having Shadow of the Colossus, you know.
Oh yeah, it'd be sick.
Oh,
it'd be awesome.
Man, I would love that.
Because that game is awesome.
Yes.
Clearly. And Ico is so hard to find at a reasonable price anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's just a rumor? It's not confirmed?
Yeah, it's a rumor, but why not, you know? Why not? I'm sure they had... You know, they did it with the God of War games. It didn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sony game. You know, they're probably pushing for that.
Yeah.
Sony's probably pushing for that.
Loads and loads of fans would love that.
Oh, of course they would. And they would sell crazy copies.
Yes.
You know, for the amount of money that they have to put in, it's pretty much all profit for Sony. So let's hope they do it.
Let's hope that's real. I'd really like to play some more of Shadow of the Colossus.
I know.
I actually went out and bought a PS2 for that game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But that was before you had the PlayStation 3 backwards compatible.
Right. This was, before the PS3 released. All right, and then last...
$500 for that thing.
Jeez. That's a lot of money.
Dollars.
I think I got mine for what? One? No, 200? 130? How? 130, the Slim?
Wait, how?
The Slim. It, like, was super cheap.
Oh, why did you get it? When did you buy your PlayStation?
We had one. It broke. We never bought another one. And then I when Shadow of the Colossus, or a little bit after Shadow of the Colossus came out...
Oh, you're talking about PS2.
Right, what are you talking about?
I was talking about the PlayStation 3. I got mine for $500. Jesus Christ. I don't think the PS2 ever was that much. I think it was like $400 or $300. I don't think it was ever $500 or $600.
Well, that's still a lot of money. Wait.
I remember when one of my buddies got the PS2 when it first released, and it was like, oh my God, you have a PlayStation 2? I only have PlayStation 1. I can't afford PlayStation 2. Look at you. You're God. You're God now. Look at you. Look at that beautiful piece of electronic. PS2. Big black brick.
I had a big purple brick.
Purple?
The GameCube.
You gotta see a doctor about that.
Okay. And then finally, Half-Life 2 and EVE Online have released for the Mac on Steam. That's awesome news for us Mac gamers. I mean, of course, I've already gone through them on Orange Box, but I'm really hoping that the mods still work. You know, like the PC mods. Do you think they'll work? Like, what is it called? Gary's mod?
The coding would be different.
Well, let's hope Gary comes out with something for the Mac. Because I
want to
play it.
Well, you know what? Gary's mod might work because that's actually officially supported by Steam.
Well,
that might be sourced over, but I doubt that any of the custom mods that people make that you download from somebody's server would apply to the Mac version. I highly doubt that.
Well, let's go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll see.
Break it.
Burb. That's BRB, Andres, if you didn't know.
That was terrible. For you, the listeners of the On Pause podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/onpause. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/onpause for your free audiobook.
Lastly, what was it? We had like a 20-second cutout, and I never went and fixed it.
That's some high production values.
If you want better, have Andreas, you know, edit everything. Message him.
Who that is.
Andreas@onpause.org.
That's an email address to somebody. I don't even know who that would be.
RacingFreak@onpause.org.
So, what I played this week, quickly, I played...
Nubbins@onpause.org.
That's probably not a real address, actually.
No, but I'm going to go make it after this podcast.
Okay, well, that will never actually ever receive an email. But, let's get into what we've been playing. And quickly, I played the demo for Pixel Junk Shooter, which is fun.
Oh, I need to go download that.
Should have bought it for $5 when it was on sale, but I didn't. I'm not going to buy it now for $10 because I'm not going to play it much.
Does the demo have co-op?
Yes.
That's
it. Has cooperative play.
How long is it?
About 10 minutes.
Oh. Well, I guess it gives you a good look at, you know, test out the features.
You get to the first boss, halfway through the boss, then it cuts off. Also played Mod Nation Racers demo.
Hey, Andreas, real quick, would you like to meet singles in your area?
I meet them all the time on the interwebs.
Go to meethotlocalgirls.com. I just got some Skype spam. I love it.
God. Really, you sign up for that. You know that, right?
Oh, so move along. Yep. You said you were playing what?
So I played Mod Nation Racers demo. And that game's fun-ish, I guess, but not really a buy for me.
I think you definitely won't play the single player much, but if you got a group of friends, I think it'd be a lot of fun going through each one's, you know, created map.
I mean, to be honest, like the...
You know, when I shoot you with a rocket and stuff.
The modding was more fun than the game.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time on the modding.
The game works pretty well, but it's like the AI will wait until I was in first, and the AI waited until I was just about to go over the finish line, and then they all bombed me at once. So I ended up at second, like two times.
That's horrible.
Whatever, but it's, you know, it's fun. I wouldn't pay full price for it right now unless, you know, you're really into making tracks, and that really works really well. You know, the modding of the guys and make your own cars, and it's really deep in terms of that. I'm not going to knock it, but I don't have the time to play it and get $60 worth out of it right now. So, you know, I'm going to rent it and then see maybe if I purchase it further down the road. But it's fun. Like, the mechanics work. The drifting works. You know, it's neat. And the only downside, I think, is that the load times are just outrageous.
Yeah, they were pretty bad, weren't they?
Yeah, but they're fixing that. I think they're patching it right now. Or they might have already patched it. So I played that, and I played Hamster Ball. Have you played that game?
No.
It's just you as a hamster in a ball going down like different paths, and that's it.
That's it. Hamster. Just that's nothing it. Else.
Well, it's like different levels, and it's stupid.
What is this for? The PS3?
Yeah. it's like an iPhone game, you know what I mean? It's like Tilt. You just basically, if it wasn't an iPhone, you would just tilt to go left and tilt to go right and back to slow down and forward to speed up.
Awesome.
I mean, it'd be a good iPhone game, but I've been playing the crap out of this game, iPhone game called Birds.
Angry Birds,
sorry. Yes, that game is awesome. I'm sure at this point the listeners have played it because it's been on the App Store, a number one spot for 99 cents for like a month.
Yeah, my brother just got it. Like, he got an iPod Touch not too long ago and just got the Angry Birds. And that's all he talks about, and that's like all he plays lately.
It's so much fun, though.
I mean, I went and downloaded it for the iPad. I thought it was fun, but...
Well, how deep did you get into it? Because
it was like two or three stages. I didn't get far. Oh,
no. You gotta keep playing. It's a lot of fun. And I have a lot of time on my hands when I'm on the train and waiting for a train or thinking about a train.
It's just, you know. I mean, there are so many, you know, I guess, free Flash games, the same exact thing.
No, but this is awesome. Buy it. Buy it. Support these guys so they can make more Angry Bird games. And they update the game all the time, like adding new levels. And there's like, you know, like a few different blocks, and each block has like, I don't know, 30 stages in it. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's how many. And you have all these different birds have different abilities to break different things. And basically, you have to kill these pigs with using the birds. And the pigs are built into like little structures of wood, glass, and stone. And all these different birds have the ability to break them. And when you shoot the bird, which you actually do from like a slingshot, and then when you tap on the screen, the bird will execute a special ability. Like, it'll break apart, or it can be a bomb that blows up. It's hard to explain. Just go download it. It's 99 cents. Angry Birds. It's good. So I played that, and then I played a whole lot of Red Dead Redemption and some more Split Second. Let me talk about Split Second real quick, because both played Red Dead Redemption. But yeah, Split Second continues to be awesome. I literally had the awesomest time playing that game. You know, going into like, it's set up by seasons. It's kind of like a TV show, and each season has 8 episodes, which is like a race or an event. And I'm now in season 3 out of 12, I believe, or whatever.
You need to play some more.
Dude, it was freaking jaw-dropping, some of the stuff that was going on. You know, it's like, you're driving by this like rock face, and the rock, you know, explodes. You have to like avoid the rocks crashing onto the road and flying everywhere. And at the same time, the bridge collapses over you. And then a bus gets shot out across and flies over your car. And it's like, holy shit, I just avoided all that. Are you serious? It was ridiculous. I meant to tell you about that, but, you know, I just remembered now. But, yeah, it is so much fun. And then playing online, you know, against other people that are at the mercy of you using the power-ups. So much fun. You're getting better cars. You're getting stronger cars, faster cars. And I don't know. Blur does not compete, in my opinion, with this game. And sure, like, once you play the track like 10 times, you'll know exactly what happens when. However, you know, you're not going to play a single player over and over. You're going to play online with other people, and that's really where the game has a lot of variety, because everybody's going to play differently, you know. But, like, I'm going through a single player now. The single player is a hell of a lot of fun. So, loving it. I mean,
is
it's really
it
hard
worth
to
a buy, or would you just say a rent, though?
To me, it's a buy. It's like, you can... This is the kind of game you can... if somebody comes over that's not a gamer, you can be like, watch this. And then he's going to be like, oh, shit! You know, like, that's what it was like when we played it at PAX. I mean, everybody was just hovering around the booth, and it's like, everybody just... was staring at screen going like, oh, sure, you know, like, because it was so crazy, the stuff that was going on. And it's like, you're barely, you know, when you're barely avoiding a wreck,
yeah,
it's like at every 2 seconds, and you're just always on edge, you know what I mean? A lot of fun. Really, really enjoy that game. And I know some people hate on it, and they say, oh, well, just remember where the explosions are, blah blah blah. But you know what I say to those
I
people?
I played that airplane track like 20, 30 times. You know, and yes, I know where they're all at, but it was still amazing every time. It was so much fun.
And it's really about getting good at when to trigger the the power-ups, the explosions, because... Right.
And every time you get somebody with one, it's like it's the first time you ever did it.
Right, right. And the other day I got like I got five cars at once because they were all clustered together, and I had one of the big power-ups, which, you know, sent the one of the towers basically crashing on the track and took out all the five cars, and it was just like, holy shit.
Did you get an achievement?
I believe so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, game is awesome. And it does something cool with the achievements, too, because it actually shows you what achievement you got after the race, sort of built into the interface, so you don't have to actually check, you know, the...
So as soon as it pops up, instead of clicking the guide and going in, you just wait.
You wait until the end of the race.
I really like that. That's neat.
Yeah, it's built into the game, which is nice. And then, you know, each sort of... when you complete a challenge, like, if you won a race, you get a sticker for it, or, like... an emblem, and that sticker then will be put on your car, so it's kind of like battle scars, you know, like mm-hmm. It's like a tattoo on your car. And then when you play online against other people, then people drive by your car and see, oh shit, this guy got this achievement or whatever.
What if you come in like 10th a whole bunch, and then they put a big, you know, like 10th place logo on your car?
Oh, meaning like you're a loser,
right? Yeah. That would be an awesome game, actually, if they did that.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. There actually is an achievement that gets zero score. Oh, that's a good one. When you try to... You know when you can take the shortcut?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, when you take a shortcut and an opponent triggers the shortcut and you take the shortcut, you get an achievement for being a cheapskate, basically. Like, being like, haha, I'm using your shortcut, you know? And there's also an achievement for when that shortcut closes and you try to get it and then basically your car explodes, then you get a 0 point achievement and it says like sucker or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty clever. I was like, okay, rub it in. But really cool. Really enjoying the game, and I can recommend it to anybody. And yes, for some people it might just be a rent, but I've been looking forward to this game for a long, long time, and to me that's a must own.
Cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys do in the future.
So far, they've made nothing but good stuff, like pure...
Really,
you know, now
really
this
good
game.
Racing games.
Yeah, so the next one will probably be something unique again.
Yep.
All right, I played some 99 Nights 2, also known as N3-2. A demo came out on the 360, and this is just a completely terrible... hack and slash. Like, it is no fun at all. They put you into this very boring gray world, and you just go and you hack at everything. How bad did that sound? Hack.
Wait, isn't this the game that is really terrible?
Yeah. I mean, it's got a neat thing where there's loads and loads of dudes on the screen, but the graphics are so bad, it's like, that's why there are loads of dudes on the screen, you know?
So and is it like a hack and slash or what?
I mean, hack and slash like God of War, like you were put, what is it, Dynasty Wars. It's like Dynasty Wars where you just go around and you kill lots of dudes, you destroy this thing, and they're done with the level. I mean, that's all you do. Every single level.
Sounds terrible.
It is. It's really bad. All I did the whole time was like X, 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 and then, you know, right bumper X.
Which, sounds like something that's really bad to waste your time on.
Yeah, don't even download it.
Apparently, like, Alpha Protocol is the same way. It's a bad game.
I heard that. It kind of bothers me, because I was looking forward to this game, especially since it's got my boy in it, you know?
Who's your boy?
The dude with the voice.
Who? I'm lost. Who is this?
Nolan North.
Wait, is he voicing the guy? No.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, well, fuck it. I don't care if it's bad. I'm playing this shit.
Protocol. What's the name? Alpha Protocol?
Alpha Protocol.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was him.
Don't know. Wouldn't be so sure about that.
I'm pretty sure, Andrea. Yeah, Alpha Protocol.
Well, 1UP gave it an 83, or...
Oh, that ain't too bad.
3.5 stars or something, but, you know... Jim Sterling gave it a 2.5 or a 2 or something.
Well, what does he know? He rated Deadly Premonition 100 or a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but you know what? He's got a point, and Justin McElroy also reviewed it and basically said this is how dare you release a game that's literally broken for $60? And you know, and all the scores pretty much reflect it. It's like, you know, 60s or mm-hmm. maybe a 70 there, but so supposedly the game is basically broken and boring. And that's a spy game. Well done. Well, that's good work, Obsidian. I'm really excited.
That's awesome. What other games have they made?
Well, you know, they're making Fallout New Vegas, and that's really scary.
Ooh.
So let's hope it's a completely different division that's making this game that actually can make games.
That's
I think
awesome.
They made KOTOR too, right?
I'm not sure. They might have Alpha
Knights of the Old Republic too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let me look them up real quick. You got any other games that you've been playing? You can talk about that.
Well, I played Red Dead Redemption, and I can talk about that.
Nah, that game's crap. I don't want to talk about that.
I think you're crazy, and we're going to kick you off this show immediately.
It's my podcast, and I can say whatever I want.
Well, I think that you should be revoked any right to speak of video games if you say that game's bad.
Okay, see, they made Old Republic 2, not the first one. That's I hear I said, number KOTOR 2 wasn't as good.
Yeah, KOTOR 2 was like an unfinished game.
Okay. Yeah, let's really hope New Vegas is not bad. Or unfinished.
But then again, can they really screw it up? They're using the same exact engine that, you know, Bethesda made. I don't know. Then again, they might be able to screw it up.
All right, so let's talk about some Red Dead. Because I went and played the game. I put 2 hours, maybe 3 hours into it. Probably not 3 hours. I've put some time into it. You know, I've gone through the first part and played missions and killed dudes. I like it. But I think it's very...
Do you own it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because that's going to force you to keep playing, otherwise you'd send it back. So I want you to go. Just shut up
I'm
right now.
I'm definitely going to keep playing
and
it,
just
but...
get up right now. Just get up out of your chair, turn off this podcast, and go play for another 10 hours.
I'm definitely going to keep playing it, but some of the problems I've already come to is that, one, it starts out slow. Like, crazy slow. It's not even fun. The first...
Have you gotten the lasso yet?
I just got it, yes.
Okay, well then you're early.
I'm very early. Yes, I know that, but...
Okay, the game gets really good.
Okay, it starts out slow, but then also I hate the way your dude controls and the horse.
Really? I mean, he controls worlds better than Nico did.
Did he?
From GTA 4.
It's been so long since I played that game, I don't remember, but I just, like... Like, the way he runs and the way he turns, it's not fun, because he feels very heavy... And like he that. Runs like into everything.
Well, that's a matter of you getting used to the controls again. Because
but then I also hate how, like, if you hold up on the joystick, he walks. And then you have to
tap the A button.
I hate that.
Yeah, that was, every Grand Theft Auto does that.
Oh, I hate that so much. And then I also do not like that, you know, if you do it too much, the horses, they kick you off.
Well, what you have to do, I mean, your horse will get more loyal to you and it actually won't kick you off anymore. It'll just start screaming and...
Okay, and then, you know, turning the horses, I think there's a problem there.
You have to when you want to turn the horse, you have to slow down, you know, using the slow down button. Right bumper. Slows down the horse and, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like your brake, essentially. And then you can much easier. But anyway, the thing about the horse is, like, it takes some getting used to the controls with the horse. Also, you know, you can't hit the A button all the time. Just hit it every few steps because it doesn't make sense to tap it all the time. And you want to stay on a path. If you're running over grass and stuff, it's going to slow down sooner because it has more friction.
Okay.
Also, there's different sorts of horses. Like, you catch them with the lasso.
You
and
cut out at different sorts of horses.
You can buy different sorts of horses. You can also just catch them with a lasso and then break them in. And then they keep them, which is cool. You can obviously shoot and skin all these animals. Mm.
There's a lot of neat features. It's just the controls so far are really bothering me. And then some of the missions just weren't all that fun. When I first got the lasso, you know, they were showing me how to go and... Like, I had to get the horses. I had to get 3 horses, and that was just horrible. First, you had to figure, you had to, you know, lasso the horse. You had to get off your horse, get on the other horse, and then you had to, you know, sit there and click left and right for an hour.
Well, it was like
three times. It was not 15 seconds.
Okay, I think it was more like 15 seconds.
No, you're high. I'll go record it. I want you to,
because it's not a minute. It's like 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Whatever. I will definitely record it.
You know what? Here's what's going to happen. We're going to sit here a week from now, and you're going to be like, oh, man, I'm into Red Dead Redemption more now. Like, the controls I'm used to. The missions are sweet. This game is sick, man. I love it. I love everything about it. It's awesome. And you were right.
All right. We'll see.
But I'm about 45% in or so right now, and I've done like lots of missions. I'm actually like in the next part of the map, like in Mexico.
Spoilers, jeez.
Well, everybody knows you're going to Mexico.
I have no idea.
This is in the trailers.
I didn't watch any.
Okay, I know for a fact you watched them. we watched them together when I sent you the link. Anyways, so I'm in Mexico now. And I'm doing missions for
Mexico.
I'm doing missions there, and I'm playing as a good guy right now, so I'm being nice and helping everybody out.
And I tried to.
Did you get to the mission yet? That I'm not spoiling, but where you meet the old guy, and he says, "Can you pick flowers for my wife?"
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, should I spoil this part? It's hilarious.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
It's a small side mission, so spoilers really quick. So you come across this old guy, and you come across him just randomly when you ride to a certain town. That's a story mission later on. But you go past him, you stop, you're like, hey, what's up? And he says, like, I want flowers, and you got to collect three different flowers, right? And
let me guess, there's like 100 dudes guarding each flower, right?
No, nothing like that. You just have to go all over the map to get the flowers, because certain flowers grow in certain spots. But you just have to be smart and know that you're in this area, so you pick up a few. Like, don't just do it all at once. You know, just do it whenever you're there. It'll tell you when you go to the journal where they are. But so I do the mission, and I come back to him, and I give him the flowers for his wife. And I was like, okay, that's got to be something. This is a Rockstar game, right? Something really corny or quirky or weird is going to happen. So I give him the flowers. He's like, thank you. You know, my wife's going to be so happy about this. And he's like, you want to stop in for some tea? And the character, he's the cutscene, goes, okay, whatever, you know, I'll stop by. So he opens the door. And at first I thought, is it a horse? Is he like, did I just pick flowers for a horse? Is this guy like demented? What's going on, you know? It gets better. So I go in, and I see a silhouette of a person sitting on a chair, and then it cuts to the full frontal shot, and it's like a dead, decomposing body sitting on the chair, and he's basically like, you should stay, and we're going to make some pie for you.
That
you know?
Is disgusting.
And he's like, I gotta go. I got an appointment with Planet Earth, he says. And then you walk out, but there's a bunch of neat missions, kind of like all the side missions like that, you know? So it's definitely worth doing all the side missions.
I was watching one, and like a lady came up to you or whatever, and she asked, you know, for you to find her husband.
Yep.
He's over in this area. So you go to this area and you find out that he's, you know, dead.
Yep. And that's a reoccurring one. There's a bunch of people that keep getting missing there. And you're going to go back there a few times, and then eventually it's going to resolve. And you get to make a decision, which is kind of cool. So definitely keep doing those.
I was going to say, I started this one where, like, yeah, the mom came up to me and said her boy was missing or something. So yep. I had to go, like, it took me to the same exact place. It's just...
That's what I'm saying. Keep going. I guarantee you, you're going to be like, oh, shit. Huh. And then you're going to be like, oh, I have to do something. Oh, shit.
Okay,
we talked about this. You met all the Marshall and stuff, right? Already?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the voice acting for a minute, because the voice acting is really, really good in this game. Like, the production values are very high. Like, I'm really impressed by the level of detail. Like I said, the voice acting is good, really good.
Yeah, as I say, other than one of the voices, I was blown away. It's really good, like you said.
Right. It just proves that video games can have good voice acting. You know, you just have to get the proper actors and pay them money and... you know, just do it right. You know, it's not that hard. It can be done. So I'm really impressed with the level of detail. And to contrary of how you feel, I love riding the horses. I'm used to the controls by now, and I'm totally immersed in the game. I'm staying up until midnight every night to play and just mess around. Like, sometimes I'm not even doing starting missions. I'm just like walking around and kill all the different animals so I can get my upgrades, my hunter upgrades and stuff. And then at night it starts raining and you get attacked by a cougar. You have to really watch out. I mean, it's very cool. There's also rattlesnakes in the game, but you only see them very far and few between. I think I came across one rattlesnake.
Yeah, I shot him.
You found a rattlesnake?
Yeah, I shot him and took his skin.
The other cool thing is, if you find flowers or, animals that are only found in a certain region and sell them in another region, you get a lot more money, right?
Oh, because I didn't know this.
So you can, if you shoot a deer and bring it to Mexico and sell the deer skin there, you're going to get more money than you would, back in the States.
Cool. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. I just had a few problems, And like you said, it just takes...
Totally. It just takes some
time. Put in some time, right. But I was going to say, I had one amazing part where I was just messing around after a mission was done. I was out in the middle of nowhere, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was right after you did the Marshall's first mission.
Yep.
Where you go up and you got to kill the dude, or get this dude. So I just went off
That's
to
like
this...
every mission. You got to go get, kill a dude. But that's beside the point.
I love the bounties. Those are fun.
Bounties are great.
But I went to this area, and I probably wasn't supposed to go there now, or, I was just supposed to stumble across it like I did, and there were just snipers camped out, and there's dudes, all around. Right. And I went, and I just snuck around, and I took them all out. And at the end, it was like, there's a person actually in there that I saved, and little stuff like that I really enjoy.
Yep. And there's a lot of random encounters.
Right. I'm looking forward to playing more of it.
You know the woman that you see in the cutscene in the very beginning? The cutscene is great in the beginning, by the way. The intro.
Walking?
Yeah, right, when he first gets dropped off in the town. And
spoilers.
You know the annoying woman that's talking to the pastor on the train?
Yeah.
In the beginning? Well, she plays a little role later on, which is kind of neat. So there was a lot of attention paid to details. And
I was gonna say, it's very Fallout.
Right? Yeah, that's
where
what I
be,
thought.
You'll just be walking around and somebody comes up to you, or, you do something here and it happens over here, or it affects over here. It's very neat.
Yeah, they did an incredible job. And, the write-up that I put up, the initial impressions on the website, onpause.org, you got to come check our site out. I said that the level of detail is absolutely astonishing, and it feels like a very alive world with actual, active. I'm kind of repeating myself here, but there are people in this world and animals and events that occur in a way that it actually makes you feel like it's a believable world that you're in.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, this is an open world, but it feels super gamey. This feels like you could definitely be. I'm very immersed in it because it's just so close to something that real people would do, and they did a good job of just capturing the times, with a lot of the way they're talking. There's a lot of historical references in there and sort of how the people lived back then. And it's very true to history, which I like.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Well, kind of. Did you play any of the multiplayer?
I did. I played a bunch of multiplayer. I played some deathmatch, and I played some just posse story missions. So you can actually just kind of team up in a posse and then, do some story missions. Or you can team up against another posse. Or you can just ride around. You can do nothing.
I don't know. I got into a game, and it felt like they were just spawn camping me the whole entire time.
Well, what mode were you playing?
I think it's just like a team deathmatch.
Yeah, that's not the best way to play multiplayer in Red Dead.
Mm-hmm. And does the auto lock-on work?
Yep.
In multi?
Yep, it does.
Okay, see, mine, I kept clicking it and nothing would happen. Maybe
you have to be really close to...
Oh,
okay. When your reticle has to be really close to the body for it to lock on, though. Mm-hmm. And you have to be close
I need to play some more of that, but just my first whatever, I was not enjoying it at all.
you got to get used to it again. That's because it's such a different style of game, too. You know, for a multiplayer shooter, you know, it's not like, I don't know. It's much different than like the Uncharted 2 multiplayer feels, you know, even though it's a third person.
Yeah, yeah. Completely different.
Getting into that. You know, like, oh man, I gotta get my stats up.
You just cut out again. I love Skype.
I hate Skype. I was saying, you know, it's not like, I mean, it's a lot like Grand Theft Auto multiplayer where you're not gonna go in there and be like, oh yeah, I gotta get my stats up, man. In Grand Theft Auto multiplayer, it's sick, you know? It's kind of just like a mess around open world where you, you know, in Grand Theft Auto, you get into a chopper and fly around and then jump out and die. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You just mess around.
Mm-hmm.
And same with, you know, Red Dead Redemption. And I think that the whole concept of this open world engine that they created, which basically has this huge sandbox, it works really well in a Western sort of setting versus the, you know, Liberty City setting. I think it worked really well here. I'm loving it. I'm loving this game. This is probably one of my favorite games of the year so far. And I think that you'll share my opinion once you're really getting into the story and you've done a bunch more stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because at first I was the same way. I was like, okay, this is kind of a slow start, you know? But I just forced myself to kind of really pay attention to the story and just go through the first initial missions, because that's how every Grand Theft Auto is. And, you know, Red Dead is basically Grand Theft Auto.
But, so I'll definitely talk more about it next week.
Yeah.
Let's move along.
Okay, that's really all I've been playing.
Okay, so I got two games left real quick. I'll just tell about them and then we can go. Nova for the iPad, which is a first-person shooter. I think it's also for the iPhone.
It was on the iPhone first and then it got ported to the iPad.
Okay, it's terrible.
Yep, it looked terrible.
I mean, graphics are good, but you can't play first-person shooters on this device. One, it's too heavy, you know? And the controls
don't work.
Right, they don't work. It's like, how are you supposed to look and shoot and move? It does not work. Do not buy Nova. If you do,
can you hear me?
If you do want a shooter, though, go and get Zombie Infection for the iPhone. It's a third person. It kind of plays like Resident Evil, where you got to stop and shoot. It works. It's really good. I would definitely pick that one up if you're looking for a third person iPhone shooter. All right, and finally, I was playing Just Cause 2, a game I've been looking forward to since they announced it at E3, and unlike Red Dead and GTA, they don't have the world down. It is so boring to be there. You know? Like, there's just nothing to do. The people are boring. I didn't even have cars driving around. Like, I think my game glitched, and throughout the whole time I was playing it, I only saw bad guys driving around.
So how long did you play it for?
I don't know. Two hours?
About see, that. I put probably like 20 hours in that game and I like barely scratched the surface.
It's not worth going through 20 hours. The missions are boring. The cars are terrible to drive. The shooting's not fun. Half the time, like, it is so broken, it doesn't even work.
Yeah.
So, like, I go into a mission and then they spawn 10 dudes on me. I don't have any ammo and they all kill me. And I have to restart. And then it happens again.
The ammo thing is definitely an issue. I found the same. That the ammo kind of...
I mean, before I sent it back, I found one fun thing was just flying around in the jets, but even that, it gets very boring.
Yeah.
That was a big disappointment.
I don't know. Maybe the hype was too big. I really enjoy Just Cause, but I wish that this is a game that should have had co-op in it, because then it would have been awesome.
I mean, it would have definitely added a lot more fun to it, but I think even with that, it would have still been boring, because there's just nothing to do in this world.
I don't know. I mean,
even said that about the demo. It's just very boring. And it's just dumb how big it is, because it takes, you know, a jet from one side to the other, like...
It takes forever.
10 to 15 real minutes.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Not fun.
But that's just how big the world is.
That's dumb. You know, make it smaller. Or make my vehicles faster. I don't know.
There's a lot of fun to be had, but you have to go find it. You know? You have to go find the fun, which is sometimes annoying. And the story could have been a little bit better. I think that game got a little bit too much hype from the media. You know what? This happened to me with Borderlands too. Borderlands was like, oh, this is awesome, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, after an hour of shooting people over and over and over and over and not really doing anything,
right?
You're like, okay, this is stupid.
Yeah, so it's just a skip. I mean, if you really want to fly around in a huge, boring open world, get it. But
no. Wait, just download the latest Microsoft Flight Simulator.
There you go. You know, just go watch the a video, and that's all you need.
Just play the demo. That's it. The demo's good.
There you go. Did you check out the Lost Island any?
No, not yet. But I did go check out the High Mile Club or whatever.
Yeah, that thing was kind of cool.
The Mile High Club. Yeah, that's what it is. High Mile Club. Copywritten. That's why you can't say the word.
Yeah, that was cool. And then I went and checked out the Lost Island, which was neat. But
it has the hatch, right?
Yeah, it had the hatch, it had the spoiler, and then it had the other thing.
Lost is over now. You can spoil anything.
I don't know. You have not seen it yet, and I really want you to go and watch it.
But the crazy thing is, like, some people that I know have been watching, like, the last final episodes, and they're like, oh, man, I can't believe, like, you know, this and this and this happened. And I was like, shut the fuck up. I can't hear any of this because I haven't seen it. And it's literally going to spoil stuff from season 2 for me. Like, if I'm going to go watch season 1, what you just told me is probably going to spoil everything.
That's
so
horrible.
I blocked it all out. I don't remember any of it.
I mean, that's really good. I'd have to say it's the greatest TV show ever.
I believe that's very arguable. But
I will kill whoever, you know, doesn't agree with me.
You're going to have to kill a lot of people.
I'm going after them right now.
Do it. But here's what I say. We wrap up this podcast right now,
mm-hmm.
and we take a break, and then we go play some Red Dead Redemption.
And watch Lost.
Not, but we'll play Red Dead Redemption.
All right, then. You can check out the blog, onpause.org. Also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Ronnie Dean. The other guy doesn't use it much, so you don't need to follow him.
You can follow me on Twitter at Racing Freak.
Did you forget it there?
I was going to say, you can follow me on Twitter at Racing Freak.
At
double ads. Yes. No, just one at.
You can also check out our other host's blog. It is tvandlust.net, and he is also on Twitter, at tvandlust. And
that's it. And my avatar wears a Red Dead Redemption t-shirt. I'm out. I said my avatar wears a Red Dead Redemption t-shirt, a red one, and I'm out. I'm gone. Later. I'm on a horse.
All right. What a great way to end it. See y'all next week.
I'm so tired.
Weekend over.
Weekend just started. No, it's over. It's done.
Well,
Go back to work. I'm getting a phone call. I gotta stop for a second.
What?
I'm getting a phone call. I gotta answer this.
Let me pause it.